read, I think I'm just going to read the first verse right now. I might jump a little bit. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse, to Bethlehem, for I have provided me a king among his sons. So he goes, he takes off, and he heads to Bethlehem, and he comes there, and Jesse brings his sons before the Lord. And you see in verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. By the way, that's a good verse for today in relation to the award ceremony to all of our kids in Master's Club. Only thing we can see is in the outward. What matters before the Lord is what you do with those verses. What he sees is, of course, don't get wrong, he loves, that's why we honor that, the fact that you want to get into his word and hide his word in his heart, but it's why you do it and what you're going to do with it. So, you know, and anyhow, this continued on. Jesse called his other sons, as you can see, and the Lord did not choose him, and neither had the Lord chosen another one, and another one comes and said, the Lord has not chosen him, and he says, well, here's all the children. He said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. They weren't even going to consider him. And of course, this is David. And of course, you know the story, verse 13. Let me look at 12 and 13. And he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. For Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, I ask your blessing upon the message tonight. Lord, I pray that it would be a help, that that it would strengthen us and encourage us. And Lord, so please bless and work. I do pray if there's anyone here who is apart from Christ that has never truly been converted. Lord, I pray for that drawing that even perhaps even this evening they would repent and place their faith in Christ. Lord, please work now. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to try and draw some lessons out, really more about the Lord in relation to David and not so much on David. But it all will concern something with David, with what happens here as we're introduced to him here and what's taking place. And you know, throughout the Word of God, David is throughout the Bible. He is actually mentioned over 1,100 times in Scripture is David mentioned. 54 chapters in the Bible are given to the life of this man. And I want to draw some principles here in this key chapter in the life of David. Again, more so how God was working and how the same thing applies to our life. And David was a man who, as you know, if you know the story of David, which I would imagine the majority of us do, he was a man that was after God's own heart. In other words, he took his faith serious. He was real. He was genuine with it. He wasn't perfect. We know the Bible is very clear. It gives his flaws and his sin as well as it does his strengths. And he had flaws. He had sin. At times he had great sin before the Lord. But it was a man, as we see from the Psalms, who truly desired a strong relationship from God. And so what I want to do is just try and draw out some principles here. I have several here, and I'll just go based upon time how many it is I'm going to cover. And I put together about five or six of them here. The first one, though, is in the very first verse that I think is a big help. The Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee there to Jesse for the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Samuel here in this verse, the Lord has rejected King Saul. Samuel is in grief and sorrow over it and concern for the nation and the direction now and what's taking place. He did not see this coming. He did not see this direction. He was, of course, disappointed in Saul and all that was taking place there. And he's in mourning for their condition. And here in this verse, the Lord had to come to Samuel and said, basically, you got to put all this aside. How long wilt thou mourn for Saul? I've rejected him. That's what's taking place.
There's times in our life when the Lord does things that sometimes you just have to take the counsel and say, okay, this has happened. We go from here. We pick up the pieces and we go on now. And so the point of this first one is what I want you to see when he's given direction here to Samuel is the fact that God is in control. I say that all the time, but it can give such a measure of strength, such a measure of peace in this world, in all the chaos that can come to our life. I mean, Samuel was forgetting in his grief and thinking about the nation that God was in control, that God knows what was best, that Saul had to be rejected. It was necessary. And at times, just like Samuel, we forget that God knows what's best. So often we think we know what's best. There are times that I hear statements that at times I'm just stunned, where people literally question God and say, well, God shouldn't do that. God should have did this. I got news for you. You're not God. Your mind is so limited and so puny and so tiny, you have no clue what you're talking about. God knows what's best. You have to trust that. And think about it. When you actually, Samuel doesn't know what's coming. But when you think about the two men, David compared to Saul, I mean, you can think of this man, David. The Lord knew, there's a man that's serious. There's a man after my own heart. There's somebody here in the nation that actually wants to know what I want for his life, that wants to follow me, that it's just not about religion. It's just not about going to the tabernacle. It's not just about that for him. He takes it serious. God saw that because God looks on the heart. There are times we need to trust God. We need to trust Him. At the times we don't understand His will, just like with Samuel here, there are times you simply have to trust the Lord and know that He knows what is best, He knows what He's doing, and He knows what to do. The second thing I want you to notice is, I learned from this, is that the Lord is always working even when I don't see it. Samuel's in mourning. The Lord's dealing with him. But he tells him, he says, listen, I've already selected the next man. It's done. Put the grief aside. Get up. Head to Jesse's house. One of his sons I've already marked. There's so often that we stress over things that are in God's hands. Let him be God. You're not. Samuel thought, man, now the direction of the nation, what am I going to do? And the Lord said, listen, put the grief aside. I'm in control. I've already selected. I already know who's going to be the next king. And God's already working the details out in the life of this young man. And even though all this chaos is going on, behind the scenes, the Lord knows what He's doing. He's already preparing for the next step. The Lord found the man who would become king of Israel. A man, again, who had, as we see him referenced here coming up in 1 Samuel chapter 16, a man who would end up having 54 chapters of the Bible dedicated to his life. The Lord is always working behind the scenes. We have to trust that. And the majority of the time, we don't see it. I can see it in small areas of my life. We were at the airport in Port Moresby. We were actually heading back from a furlough. So we had a lot of bags with us. We had to get to our island now. And we have a ton of bags. And at first, it was going to be this really not a really good... it was going to cost a lot of money, a lot of kina, their currency there. And anyhow, this guy came up to the counter. So we were just up there. The lady started to deal with us, but this guy said he was in this rush. He came up and basically just bumped right ahead of us. And we were at the counter right there. And he starts arguing with this lady. Guy was in a bad mood, got off the wrong side of the bed. I don't know what happened to him. They were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I'm just watching this. And finally, the guy walks away, and the lady just says, just take your bags. We'll just check them all. Just go. I don't want to deal with this right now. I thought, well, didn't that work out really well right now just for me? The Lord was working. In that moment, as I stepped to the counter, the Lord had that guy, why don't you go over there and just argue with that lady for a little bit? There are times over and over again where you can see the Lord working behind the scenes. I can see it in my life time and time again. From the time that he sent me to Korea, I had no peace. I was miserable for months with this remote assignment. Instead of just trusting God and know, you know what? God's working behind the scenes. There was a missionary there I was going to work with for a year. Little did I know, I would be on the mission field just 5-6 years from that time. The Lord is working behind the scenes. I mean, the one day when I was in New Guinea and working just with the work in Soho, it's the first term, and we had the one structure there, and I told James, I said, listen, let's build a Sunday school house. Let's put a little Sunday school house out of the bush material. And he says, all right, so, you know, we cut the little timbers there just with the bush knives out there for all the little structure of it. And it's amazing how quick you can put up a little bush house. And now we needed stuff for the roof, and it's kunai grass. It's really long grass, taller than I am, just razor sharp, by the way. And he said, well, the place we have to get kunai grass is in a village called Kudukudu. I had never been there before. But the whole reason to really go there for that kunai grass, God was already working behind the scenes. Little did I know on my truck heading to the village that day that there would be a church planted in that village within the next year. The Lord's works behind the scenes. All of us could come up. I could ask testimonies here of people at those times when you couldn't see it. You didn't understand what the Lord was doing. Yet the Lord was working behind the scenes. We need to be careful. Because if you're not trusting the Lord and you fail to see, you fail to trust Him when God is working, you likely can miss out or even taking yourself right out of the will of God, out of your own lack of faith, stubbornness. Put whatever it is for your case right there. Had Samuel just said, you know what? It's too late. Nothing can be done for Israel. It's over with. We've missed out. I'm done. So glad he didn't do that. I'd heard of the story, and I actually researched this today to make sure it was true. And it actually happened. There was a scientist who did this. It took place at the end of the 19th century. He used that. What was that fish? Greg talks about it a lot. It's a really aggressive fish. Is it a pike? It's a pike. Guy took a pike, put it into a tank with several smaller fish. I believe there were minnows that he put it in with. And he put a thing of glass in there. And that pike kept on trying to get to those smaller fish to eat them and banging and smashing himself and couldn't do it. And after it had the time, and I actually researched it, I think it was 3 months, 2 or 3 months, he took the glass out. The pike never ate one of them. The fish just swam all around him. He never ate one of the fish. He didn't realize, actually, that he could do it. See, there's many times that sometimes when God's working behind the scenes, you can't do it, and sometimes you just quit. And yet, if you would just walk by faith and trust the Lord, it's right there. It's right there. Another thing that I learned from this text is that the Lord often, boy, is this so, so true, often uses people that we tend to overlook. I mean, Samuel heads to Jesse's house and his own dad doesn't bring him in. I mean, Samuel tells him, bring all your sons in, and he brought them all in, but David, there's no need to get David. It's certainly not David. And, of course, we all thought it was alive. They came, oh, this is him. Even Samuel thought this was him. It's got to be this guy. I mean, look at him. But it wasn't him. Every single one rejected. Reject. This is not him. This is not him. This is not him. Finally, he said, is this it? You got to have another. Well, there's one more. He's out in the field. And he says, go get him. And they bring him in. Of course, it was David. Listen, whoever you are in here right now, whether teenager, elderly, don't think the Lord cannot use you. He can. See, the Lord looks on the heart. If you have that yielded heart, that's what he looks for. He doesn't care how tall you are, how short you are. He doesn't care how ugly you are. I mean, look at Daniel. I'm surprised there wasn't a lot of amens on that one. I don't know. But really, the Lord doesn't care about that. Those are things we look for. The Lord looks right at your heart.
And that's what, remember, that's what breaks you what he said. The Lord saw his heart. I know this one. This is the one that will be king. So we learn from this that God often uses people that we tend to overlook. We see that same principle. Really, we can say, I'm not going to tend it for time's sake, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 with who God chooses and why others overlook so that he can receive the glory. That is certainly true. And in chapter 16, as you move along within that chapter, we see that the Spirit of the Lord, of course, has departed from Saul. And that's such a sad, sad, sad statement. An evil spirit has even taken its place. Saul no longer has peace. He no longer has confidence. And that had come from the Spirit of the Lord, from walking with God, that has gone from his life. Evil spirit is there. And he tells his staff, listen, find a man that can play some music, play the harp, and that can try and be a help. And there was a man there that knew of David and recommended him. Look at verse 18, how David is described in the recommendation to King Saul. Verse 17, and Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Verse 18, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. What a description already of young David that takes place. Really is incredible. Now within this, a couple more things and I'll be done, that I want to learn from this what takes place here. One, I want you to notice that when we're following the Lord, you have God's protection. What happens is they go and get David, and David comes into the palace. Think about that. What we learn from this is when you're following God's will, you have God's protection as well. Not only is God in control, as we had seen, but God also protects as we follow him. David had safety when he was there, even in spite of what's going to take place. You see God's hand of protection upon him. Because think about this. He's been anointed the next king of Israel. He's now in King Saul's house. If you think about it, that's the most dangerous place he could be in the nation, would be in that house. And he's going to find that out, because sure enough, King Saul is going to attempt to kill him. As we know, King Saul will even chase him for years, trying to take David's life. But at the same time, God, you see God's, you know, God's hand in all of this. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I don't want to. It's just neat what God does here. So we see God's, and I could take you through it time and time again, with God's hand of protection upon David. Even though this looks to be the most dangerous place to be, it doesn't matter when you're in God's will. Nothing's going to happen that he doesn't allow. And if something does happen, it might. It might. That might happen. But that still takes God's permission. And in this, at the exact same time, we see God's providence. And this almost always, I believe it's true for every single one of us, that if we will obey Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, Matthew 6, 33, just like with David, a heart that's truly for God, I want to be yielded to him, I don't want to lean on my own understanding, I just want to trust the Lord to see what he does. God's providence is in place, and it always, always, even though there's a multitude of things that take place in our life, it always works towards a single purpose that God designs. He knows each one of us. He knows everything about us. He knows what he wants each one of us to accomplish. So there's like this singleness of purpose that God's providence intervenes. And we see this in this event in chapter 16 in the life of David. Think of the providence here. King Saul has the evil spirit upon him. And he wants, you know, since somebody has placed some music at my mind office, that'll be a help to me, please. And there happens to be a staffer there that says, I know of someone. What a coincidence that was. It's not a coincidence. It was God's providence.
And that's one thing that's so nice when we're yielded to the Lord and making our life about Him. Because you know what realm you've just entered? It's almost, you know, when you're not there, it's almost like God has to change up, like we see in Hebrews chapter 12, and be like, okay, now you've entered the realm where there's mercy and grace, but chastisement is there to try and get you back where you need to be. But when you're there, you have that providence of God that there's no coincidence, there's no accidents. It's of the Lord. And David had that. I mean, I have no doubt that in that day there were multitudes who played the harp. But God gave David favor, of course, with that servant who brought David instantly to mind. And think about where David's sitting right now. He's going to be king one day. Basically, the Lord takes him to school. It's basically college time for David. David, I'm actually going to put you in the king's house. I want you to see some things. All God's providence, all this God working. I mean, think back to your own life, how God used different circumstances in directing you. I mean, I can see it time and time again where I was trying to get out of the Air Force to get rid of that assignment to Korea, which had they granted any one of those things I applied for, I never would have came to Alaska. The Lord knew what He was doing. The Lord directs. His providence is there. God is working. We have to trust Him. Look over in Psalm chapter 57, and I'll finish up here. Here is a psalm of David. We can think of God's providence and God's protection, God's direction. You know, how God was in control of everything taking place. David, who's just simply following God, God is the one behind the scenes organizing everything. David did not have to come up with a campaign. David did not have to come up with some plot to overthrow Saul. David didn't have to come up with any of those things at all. God was already working. He already knew what to do. David just had to be yielded to the Lord. Let's just look at the first two verses. Here's David praying to God. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. Let's just think about that for a second. The humility of David there, who recognizes his own sinful nature. He's not praying as a Pharisee would. Boy, look at me, Lord. Look how much better I'm doing everybody else in the country. Here's David, one guy who is really all about God. Lord, be merciful unto me. He says, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Boy, you can see that trust. And the truth that he held on to, God who performeth all things for me. Even in the midst of a chaotic world and messes that come up time and time again, I mean, you can see it in the life of David, even his relationship with King Saul, he said, I'm just going to trust in God. God, I'm under your shadow. I'm under your protection. He believed it. Listen, God is in control. We do have the providence of God. We do have the protection of God. The only thing he asks of us is just to have a genuine walk with him. That we would be a person after God's heart. Not after what we want. Not about our name, but about him. There's nothing better than that. It is what life is all about. Everything else you're giving your life to, listen, apart from that, it'll end in vanity or circumstances change and just ruin things or you think it's going to satisfy and so you strive, but then you realize once it's done, you have fleeting moments of satisfaction with it and it's gone. It's because life is about the Lord. Trusting in Him. Listen, you might not understand everything going on in your life right now, know this, God is working. You don't have to understand it right now. You just got to trust him. With heads bowed and eyes closed.